We're now at the time of our service that we have the privilege of partaking in every week at Grace Bible Church, the Lord's Supper. And we like to have our Bibles open on our laps so we can see with our own eyes God's word as we meditate on the truths there to prepare our hearts to take the bread and the juice. So if you do not have a Bible, can you raise your hands? And we have some men who'd love to put one in your hand. And when you have your Bible, open it to the passage that we read this morning that Eric read for us from 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. We just sung of Jesus' blood washing us from our sins. And we said thank you. That thank you seems insufficient. I don't know what else to say. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to look in 1 John chapter 1. You can see in verse 7 a statement. The end of verse 7 of 1 John 1 says, "The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." Why is that important? We know that to be true, but we can't start with our sin when we want to know why we have to be cleansed from our sin. We have to start with God, and that's where John starts. Look at verse 5. "This is the message we heard from him, and we declare to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." In 1 Timothy, Paul says that God dwells in unapproachable light. Why is God, who is light, who dwells in light, unapproachable? Because he's holy. He is not like us. He is different. He is perfect in his sinlessness. He is perfect in his righteousness. He is eternal, all-powerful. And most importantly, he is holy. And he is unmixed in that holiness. You see it there. In him, there is no darkness at all. And this is a problem for us because we are born into unmixed darkness. Us and God, we and God are incompatible. We don't mix. We can't come into God's presence as we are and continue to exist. We would be immediately obliterated. In God, there is no darkness at all. So fellowship with God should be impossible for us. We are here at church all together worshiping a God that we can't approach on our own. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, right? Saying something doesn't make it true. If we say we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not do the truth. So does that mean we just have to try harder? We do less bad. Let me do good today and then I can come to God. As long as you haven't sinned this morning, you might think, I can take communion. I can worship God and feel pretty good about myself. And then the legalist in us, the one that wants to approach God based on what we have done, might say, I sinned this morning. I better try harder and get my life together and live a week better. Maybe next week I can approach God if I do better. Let me tell you, communion is an every week reminder that we cannot approach God like that. We cannot approach God looking at ourselves and what we have accomplished, what we have done, how we have lived. Now, if you approach God ignorant of who you are and how you have lived, you lie. You are lying to yourself. You cannot get to God saying, I'm sure I'm good enough. I've done enough good. I haven't done too much bad. God'll be okay with it. No, you're a liar, and you're just deceiving yourself. The only way to have fellowship with God is that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Look at verse 9. Right? Before verse 9 is verse 8. If you say you have no sin, if you maybe measure yourself by some standard that you can live up to and say, according to my standard, I haven't sinned. All right, well you're a liar. You're deceiving yourselves because you are not your own standard. Measuring yourself against other people is not an adequate standard. We are measured against God, who is only light. You must be holy as he is holy. And according to that standard, we all fall short. And the wages of sin is death. We all sin. We all have sinned. We cannot approach God because of that sin except through the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. How do we get cleansed from sin so that we can walk in the light? Verse 9, if we confess our sins, if you just say before the throne of God, I'm guilty. Then what? What would a good judge do if you were on trial and they say, how do you plead? You go before a judge, guilty of, and you know it, guilty of something that if you're deemed guilty, you're going to die, right? The death penalty is the only possible outcome of that trial. And the judge says, how do you plead? And you say, guilty, Your Honor. What does that get you? A really short trial, and you're going to get the death penalty because that's what you deserve. But look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, if you say, God, I'm guilty, you agree with him, he is faithful and he is righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is God a bad judge? Right, a good judge, a righteous judge, if you say I'm guilty, they're saying thank you for speeding this trial along. Let's sentence you to what you deserve, which should be death. And here it says if we confess our sins, he is righteous when he forgives us. And not only does he forgive us, but he cleanses us from that sin. He frees you. He cleanses you from sin's penalty and sin's power so that you can now walk in the light to which he saved you. And that's what we remember at communion. Every single week when we get a cup of juice and a piece of bread, these are tasteable, touchable reminders, physical reminders that you hold in your hand, that you put in your mouth, and that you agree with God saying, my only hope to be right with you is this blood that I am remembering and proclaiming, and this body that I'm remembering and proclaiming, a death that you and I should have died. But God is righteous to forgive us because he took every one of the sins of those who would confess and believe in him. He took every one of those sins off of us, place them on Jesus, where his body was broken and blood spilt for those sins. There's no sins that go unpunished. God is a righteous judge. No sins go unpunished. In Jesus Christ, the righteous, we're going to read about that next week, so you look forward to it in chapter 2. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, his righteousness is taken from him and placed on us. God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He's faithful. Every single one of you, if you confess your sins and turn from them in faith, he'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you. And that is the only way that any of us are here. If you're a visitor here, I want you to know, or if you're not a Christian, I want you to know, you look around, this is not a whole lot of people who've cleaned themselves up, who do good, who are better than you and have that on display. Every single person who takes the cup of juice and the bread when it comes is declaring, I'm the worst sinner that I know. I've sinned against a holy God. I deserve death. I need a savior, and Jesus is that savior. So when you take the bread and you take the juice, Jesus said, Paul said of Jesus' words that as often as we do this, we remember Jesus and then we proclaim his death. So do not proclaim your good works, your good week. Don't despair of your bad week, but confess it and turn from it. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then proclaim your only hope is the blood of Jesus that cleanses you from all sin. Your only hope before a righteous God is that. And if you're not a Christian, let the bread and juice pass. There's no merit. You don't get anything by taking it. It's not the actual cracker and the actual blood or the actual cup here that cleanses you. These things remind us of Jesus's blood that cleanses those who put their faith in him. So if you're not a Christian, let the bread and juice pass when it comes. But please don't leave here without talking to me. There'll be some people over here on your left after the service, or talk to somebody next to you. How can you believe in this Jesus in a way that will cleanse you from your sins, that you will be right with God forever, able to approach him in his unapproachable light? Men, come serve us. If you're a Christian, take the bread and juice and proclaim and remember Jesus' death on your behalf by taking the bread and juice when it comes. And I'll close this in prayer.